It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Happy 150th birthday to Richard Strauss. Thank you for all the glorious music, even if you still did nothing when the Nazis took power. How you doing, Will?
Well, this weekend, it's my birthday.
29 again.
I am officially moving from my early 30s to my mid-30s. I'm turning 34.
It's terrible.
So I have to go to Carousel. I have to die. I should just die, is what I'm getting
what,
at.
Carousel?
Hey, you never saw Logan's Run? At 30, you went to Carousel.
Is that what they called it?
Yeah, and they kill you.
I was just waiting for the Bryan Singer remake, so I've been holding out.
Let me tell you what. You know, everyone else when they were this age accomplished so much. What do I have? I have 69 episodes of a podcast.
You know what else you have?
What?
1 year more on Jesus.
That's true. Jesus couldn't make this long. I did. Fuck you, Jesus Christ.
You sure they went to Carousel and not Jesus Christ Superstar?
What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, I just wanted to remind everyone that some of our former guests have a lot going on these days. We have Liz Feamy's show, Take Me to the Poorhouse. We have Tara Price's show, The Time Machine Musical, both playing at the Hollywood Fringe Festival now.
Get your tickets. I got mine. Sean has his. It's cheap, $10 a pop.
Exactly. And with Liz's show, if you put the promo code WILLSEAN, don't forget, you get 10% off. We also have Andrea Marchant's web series, Good News.
That's good news.
That's good news. There we go. And it's charming and wonderful, and you should check it out. And finally, you know, Road to 209, people. We're at 207. I'm about to move this to Road to 216, so...
We need at least two more Facebook likes for to validate our existence.
I've been getting increased Twitter followers, but it's not translating, so let's go, people.
No. This is the only way I can judge how successful we are. Who is a sponsor this week?
Well, this week's episode is brought to you by Prism. Don't bother resisting, because we already know what you're planning. Brought to you by Uncle Sam Industries, a subsidiary of the Shinchen Holding Company.
Do you think the Shinchen Holding Company has been listening to Will Sean Podcast?
I think that's all they've been listening
to. And all the threats I've made against
The U.S. government,
yes.
And the Chinese government?
Yes.
I think they have. I think that's by listening to the Will Sean Podcast, that's what set off the whistleblower.
On the show today, will the Man of Steel soar or come crashing to the ground? The end of the world is upon us again in movie theaters. I'm excited for it. And the enemy this week will involve a weekend I spent dealing with so-called geniuses. But first, we're very excited, and let's see how this goes. We've got two people Google chatting into us.
We have a hangout going on here.
A hangout from all corners of America. Alicia Camden and
Nate. All two of them.
Exactly. Both corners of America. Alicia Camden and Nate Wagner from the podcast Invitation to Love.
What's up?
What's up?
Hello.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the show.
What's up? How you doing?
Hi.
So, let's start with this. Where are you both? Alicia, where are you talking to us from?
I'm talking to you from my couch. In southeastern Virginia.
Norfolk, you said, right?
Oh. Yeah. Yep. Norfolk. It's Norfolk, Virginia, in like
we're the famous for
super cool hip part of the town.
Okay.
And of course, everything sounded perfect before we started recording, and now people
right.
are falling in and out.
That's the Invitation to Love curse, I think.
Is it now? So love is cursed. And then Nate, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Oakland, California, home of Jack London and
race riots.
Race riots. Occupy Oakland. Me getting pistol whipped outside of my house a couple weeks ago.
Did you get pistol whipped?
I got mugged.
What are you in Istanbul? What's going on? Oh, you got
I
mugged.
I got hit in the face with a gun.
Oh, that had to be scary.
Oh, I didn't tell... Oh, boy. I hope my parents didn't listen to this. I just told them I got punched in the face. I hope nobody hears this.
Nobody's going to listen to this.
You're fine. You're good.
You're good. You're good.
I hope nobody listens to this podcast, I'm saying.
Now, Alicia, did you used to live out west as well and then move to Virginia? And if so, why would you ever leave the West Coast, said a East Coaster to you on a podcast?
Nope.
You didn't?
No, I've never lived on the West Coast.
Well, I was under the impression you used to live out here.
I was in Oregon for 3 weeks one time.
How was that?
It was cool. I did a sweat lodge.
That sounds terrible.
Okay, then I have a question then. How did you two meet? I made up some story in my head that you were out here and then you weren't. I don't know why.
Nope, Nate's from Virginia.
Ah.
And we both went to college in Richmond, Virginia.
I'm Great Gatsbying it. I want everybody to think I have a totally different history and past. Don't tell anyone.
He's from North Dakota.
I met Nate in a sweat lodge.
in Oregon.
I'm a very spiritual person, so one of my, you know, sweat lodges that I do.
Okay, so that makes more sense.
That makes more sense. I don't know why I had the wrong bio. Maybe it was the fact I completely made it up in my head. So then, Nate, what made you come out here should be the question.
I got into San Francisco State University, which is Anne Rice's alma mater.
Okay, of the Lestat novel?
I came out here, and my aunt and my sister live out here. So I had some contacts in San Francisco.
Okay.
The plot thickens now. So you two decided to do a podcast. Tell us a little bit about the Invitation to Love podcast. Alicia, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, sure. So Nate and I were lovers.
The plot really thickens.
Sorry. No, Nate and I dated for a long time and we're friends, and he kind of got me into podcasting listening to podcasts and getting into podcasts and stuff after he had moved away.
Okay.
And I thought they were really cool, and there was something that I thought he would be really good at. Incidentally, I was single and miserable, and I wanted to do something to make it bearable. So I said we should start a podcast where we give people romance advice.
Now, what qualifies you two, whose relationship did not work out, to give romantic advice?
That's a good question.
Take it away, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we, well, like you and I, Alicia, I mean, we were together a long time, which is something that a lot of people our age can't necessarily say, that they've been with one person for a long time and tried to make it work with somebody for a long time. That I think that is an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
In this fast food society, this disposable society.
Said the man who went off on Taco Bell last week.
OkCupid society.
Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with OkCupid? They're a wonderful organization.
No. I love OkCupid.
We're all for OkCupid. We want it to work out.
But it never does.
We want everyone to succeed in online dating.
Do you guys online date?
We're both in relationships with other people now.
Ah. Okay.
You qualify.
Hey, listen, it qualifies them more than us to run this dog and pony show.
We have no one and nothing.
Okay, so what kind of guests, thank you, Will, what kind of guests do you guys have on the show then? And is it always Skyped in, I would assume, because you're far away?
Yeah, we always Skype. We video chat because it's more fun, but the quality's terrible.
Okay.
We've had musicians and writers so far.
You had former podcast guest of ours, Cassie J. Snyder, on an episode, I know. How do you find the, because we have, you know, I know you guys Skyping people in around the country. Obviously, what I like about having you guys on is you are some of the few guests we've had that understand the technical problems that could arise with such a situation.
It's not easy.
Yeah. What I mean, has that always been a problem? I mean, has
kind of. I mean, do we want to get into that? Like, it's, yeah, there are some weird moments. I listen to Judge John Hodgman a lot, and that makes me feel better because that has, like, the Skype.
Right.
And they have the weird slowdown robot voice sometimes, so that makes me feel better about us having that problem sometimes. And if you listen to the episode where Laura Watkins was the guest, which was two episodes ago, at one point I go on a rant about how I hate Google, and I get really upset, and it's kind of a train wreck by the end of it.
I can get behind.
But it's fun.
I can get behind.
Luckily,
that.
Our only guests have been friends, so it's sort
so
of
they put up
just
with
a matter of hanging out and being like, "Oh, hold on, let's try again."
Now I was listening to your show, and you played some fun games on it too. Like I enjoyed the like, is it creepy? And you were asking like, is if someone did this, is it? Can you throw us maybe a couple of is it creepy questions? Could you ask us maybe a question? Because I think the world wants to know how Sean would respond to some of the is it creepy questions.
I don't like this game.
Alicia, you had a new one, right?
Hitting on your server.
Oh, not at all. But you have to understand that a server is just a glorified stripper. So you can't take anything they say at face value. They're just working for tips.
Oh, so you should not hit on a
You can
on
hit
server.
On them, but don't be confused that they love you back. They're just doing it. They're just doing it for the money.
You have to know that it's all you. It's all. It's masturbatory.
It is. It's fantasy
you have
land.
To be comfortable with that.
And if you're cool with that, then hit on them all you want.
I'm going to say this. I think everybody thinks everything is creepy now. I want to run this by you, Alicia, because I recently, a former podcast guest who I didn't know, this girl, Barbara Heller, she gave me a friend of hers number. She's like, I want you to call this girl. I think you'd hit it off with her. So I have this girl's number. And I called the girl, and I left her a message. And then later, I talked to one of my female friends, and she goes, you can't just call her. That's creepy. You have to text her. It's creepy to just call somebody. And I thought that was bullshit. But is that creepy, Alicia?
That's bullshit because that means that everyone throughout history was a creep until the invention of texting.
And then even with phone calls, they're like, well, why didn't you telegram them or send them a courier?
Yeah.
So
Telegram would have been a good
No, game. I don't think that's I don't think that's creepy at all. I always wanted my friends to set me up with someone. I thought that was like a very adult thing to do.
Yes.
And no one ever came through and was like, oh, I have this colleague that you'll love, you know, that never happened.
This always drives me crazy. Too, because I always tell people to set me up with people. And they don't know anybody. Okay. Now, you guys do, besides this podcast, you guys are engaged in other endeavors. I think I saw, at least, unless, again, I'm mistaken on your bio, I think I saw a video of you doing some stand-up. Am I wrong in that?
No, that's correct.
Okay. Okay, good. Because I watched it, and I'm glad I watched the right person.
Is this something you've been doing for a while, or something more recent that you've dipped your toe into?
I just started. I've been doing it for like 2 months, and before that, I took an 8-week class with the former manager of Carrot Top.
Well, that's some fucking bona fides if I've ever seen some.
But you're not doing prop comedy. Bona he doesn't push five. Prop comedy on everyone.
She's really muscular now.
Yeah. No, he didn't push props on us, but he did push steroids on us.
Oh.
No, he never mentioned prop comedy once.
Well, hold on, he was his manager.
Lots of anecdotes about life on the road with Carrot Top.
Hold on, though, he was Carrot Top's manager, not his comedic guru, so what qualifies him to necessarily teach comedy?
I think he'd managed a lot of comics.
We're rudely blowing holes in a... What qualifies?
No,
you
but it's
fail?
Like saying...
What qualifies? I did the
it's
same
It's like
thing,
saying,
though.
No, we got a rock, we're a rock band, we're good, we were trained by the Beatles' attorney. You know?
Now, Nate, how about you? What else, what other, besides your wonderful podcast, what else are you, what other endeavors are you engaging in?
So I have another year of this master's program in creative writing.
Oh, cool.
I write for the KQED, KQED is the, as a public radio station here, I write for one of their blogs, the Pop Culture Blog.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's it. I do a bunch of readings and stuff in the Bay Area.
Okay. Did you? I went to Berkeley, so I'm familiar with the area up there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you went to Berkeley.
Why? It was a good place.
I lived there for a while, and it's kind of like I tweeted recently that Berkeley is a great place to be if you want to get yelled at every day by a guy who looks like how Gary Larson draws God.
This is very true.
Everybody, there are so many like white dudes with long white beards driving around in vans.
Well, you know,
who are like very easily frustrated.
All those guys, they basically, you know, they got they came back from Vietnam. They got dropped off in Stockton or Hayward. Got off their Navy service, hitchhiked to Berkeley, and haven't moved since the war ended. A lot of those guys are starting to die out, though. It's an exhausting place to live, I'm not going to lie. By the end of my fourth year, I was ready to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. I hear you. So you went there.
Yeah.
You went to UC Berkeley.
Yep, but then I moved promptly back to Los Angeles because I'm not an East Bay person.
Yeah.
Takes a certain masochistic personality type to live out there.
Yeah, I think that may be the case.
Now, before we have you guys plug some stuff and move on to some topics, I'd forgotten. I wanted to ask one more, is it creepy thing? Snapchat. Have you used Snapchat? Because I think this could be the ultimate way to be creepy.
That's one thing that I consider myself pretty up on these things, but I still don't. I haven't looked too much into it. I don't really understand what.
Well,
Snapchat
let me explain
is.
What Snapchat is. You can either take a photo or a video, and on the photo you can type text or you can kind of draw it with your finger and color, so you can, you know, make a little. You can sass up your photo a little bit. Then you send it to a person or group of people for no more than 10 seconds, and once they view it, it's like that Mission Impossible note. Once they view it, it's gone. That's it. If you miss it, you're screwed. So it's an ideal way to send photos of genitalia or whatnot that you don't want existing beyond the 7 seconds the other person has with which to watch it.
It also seems like it's for kids, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like it's inherently for people younger than us.
Kids or very filthy adults.
Yeah, Alicia, what were you going to say?
That's plenty of time to take a screenshot.
It tells you. It tells you if the other person has taken a screenshot of what you sent them.
It does?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't matter. Even if you know, they still have it.
This is true. But the government has it all backed up.
Like, I knew you took a screenshot.
Well, Alicia, in the future, expect to be dealing with Snapchats of men's genitalia coming your way.
This is the world we live in.
A girl can dream. You just swooned over it.
I was actually having this... We were... Today was my sister's birthday, and we went to dinner, and she's like, she just turned 22, and her friends are a little bit younger, and they were debating about this story that just happened. This young woman was talking with someone on some, like, a mobile dating app, and he sent her, like, dick pics, and she sent them to his mother.
Yep, I heard about this.
Did anyone hear about that?
Yeah, I heard
and,
about
and
this.
And one of her... Yeah, one of her friends was saying, well, if you're doing online dating, you should just expect to see dick pics and, like, get over it. Which is bullshit,
that's a weird leap.
Well, this actually gets into an interesting point, something I didn't realize. You know, I'm on OkCupid, and I try to send very thoughtful, funny, engaging messages that never get responded to by potentially promising mates or two potentially promising mates. But I speak to a lot of my female friends, and they say that like 95% of the messages they get are filthy solicitations for men to have sex like within the hour.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
So I don't understand this world.
When I was on there, I would like report them all.
Yeah.
Which is really time consuming, but I thought it was important. You shouldn't. It's the same with like street harassment or anything. You shouldn't just accept that like, oh, it comes with the, you know, you can't walk past a construction site without getting harassed. You know,
shouldn't.
Like that. Not to disparage construction workers.
You shouldn't. See, clearly, you shouldn't walk past construction sites. Don't join the military. All these wonderful places for women.
Just don't participate in all of these
things. That shocked me that this is what was going on these sites, because I thought that, call me naive, but I didn't realize that, you know, I know men are terrible beings, but I didn't realize it was this bad.
And I want to say...
But it also, it's like, Will, that puts your probably charming message into like a horrible context that it can't escape from, you know?
So it's even creepier than the naked
like,
solicitor.
Because they get the nice message from me or Sean, and they go, oh, this creep's just hiding it. Now, he must be really perverted.
Oh, this guy, he's playing the long con.
Well,
but aren't we?
Yeah, well, maybe. We all are, but I mean, let's be nice about it sometimes, to a point. Well, listen, before we move on to the topics, Nate, why don't you tell us where we can find the podcast, where people can go to the internets and find this?
So it's invitationtolove.podbean.com on the World Wide Web, and it's also on iTunes. You can search Invitation to Love and then click on podcast, and then you probably have to type it again and then scroll down a bunch through like weird Zen like how-to like help podcasts and stuff. And then eventually you'll find a picture from, like, 2008 of Alicia and I in a Team Rocket from Pokemon costume. And it says Invitation to Love Podcast. And then you're good to go, my friend.
Or you could just follow the link from our site.
Yes, we will be. If you're a good listener of our podcast, you've already been to our Facebook page where we have a link to your podcast up
nice.
There.
We will link the podcast?
We will link the podcast.
Oh,
so
we also have a Facebook page.
Oh!
If you want to follow,
you can find that. I believe we've already liked it, so you can find that on our page too. Like their page, like our page, then go like their page, then like our page again. That's what I say.
There you go. So we're giving you an invitation to love.
So this weekend I am very excited for the new Superman movie. I can tell you two are the biggest Superman fans around. That's why I wanted to have you on. Let me ask you this. First off, are you guys interested in seeing this new Superman movie?
Who do you want to go
you
first?
You can go first, Nate. I should have said names.
I'll see it, but here's what I'm going to say about it right now.
Please do.
I think that trailer stinks. I think it looks like a Left Behind movie or something. You know what I mean? Like, it looks way cheaper than it probably was, the way that thing looks. And also, like, I think that the thing that's interesting... Like, I like the first two Richard Donner movies at least, but I think that, like, filmmakers don't realize that... Filmmakers always want to make a Superman movie that's like, guess what, you guys? Superman is Jesus, don't you get it? And like, that's kind of not what's interesting about Superman.
You know what's interesting about Superman? Nothing. He's boring.
Correct me if I'm wrong, is there a Bizarro or a Mr. Mixaspit, like, are they in the movies ever?
No, they never had those guys in the movie. This movie's gonna have Zod.
I like Zod. But it's like if they took you into the weird world of Superman that's in the comics, that would be a fucked up movie, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would be really strange. And I think filmmakers always want to go right for the long slow shot of him in a Jesus Christ pose and like, you are my son, and like, that's not interesting at all. It's not cool at all.
Hey, you want to know what the most interesting thing about Superman is? Always his origin story, which I think is why it's had problems of making more movies that aren't about his origin.
Here's a man whose only weakness is a stupid rock. It's an element on the periodic tables. They had to externalize his weakness because he doesn't have... He's not like Batman. He's not an emotionally or mentally wounded character, at least not to the same level some of these other superheroes are.
Alicia, do you go see these superhero movies? Are you a fan of them at all?
Yeah. I'll probably go see it.
I mean, it's hard to avoid.
Like a glaring endorsement.
I mean, what?
Glaring endorsements from the two of you.
I agree with the Jesus thing. I'm over it. I also really don't like filters where everyone looks like a cadaver.
Yeah.
Like they're all blue in the face.
And this is Zack Snyder's creative decision for the film, I guess.
Yeah.
Obviously...
Do you think it'll have a lot of that speed up, slow down thing?
That he didn't like Watchmen and stuff?
Is it going to be like that kind of Zack Snyder thing?
I wonder if he's going to use that in this, because...
Is he going to be, cutting people's throats and stuff?
No,
like every other
it's going to be a family film.
This is going to be toned down Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Like the Guardians of Ga'Hoole?
Yeah, like the Fighting Owl movie he made.
It looks like a fun movie. From what I've heard, it's nonstop set pieces through the whole thing. That it's just the whole movie is notched up to 11. I know our friend Zach Fox will be very excited for this.
Yeah, we have a friend. He eats, sleeps, and breathes everything Superman. He goes to see Superman, the Christopher Reeves original movie, every time it's in the theater, and then he weeps like a baby.
That's awesome.
I think that's beautiful.
They should have remade Superman 3 with Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor. These Superman movies, they just don't... I don't think it's going to compare to, because they're trying to make it darker like the Batman movies. I don't think it's going to compare to the Batman movies.
Yeah, because there's no real dark direction for it to even go in.
Well, who knows? I mean, at a certain point, we got to reserve our judgment until we actually see the film.
Which, I'm sure, by the time this podcast even goes up, we will have done, and we'll probably be talking about it next week. But there's another movie that I'm actually equally excited to see that's been getting phenomenal reviews, and it's already out by the time this podcast comes up, and it's This Is the End.
My Only Friend.
Which it's another, it's the movie where Seth Rogen and Jay Baruchel, and they all play themselves.
Emma Watson.
And they all play themselves, and they're at a party at James Franco's house when the apocalypse happens. And I love end-of-the-world movies. Alicia, do you enjoy seeing apocalyptic films? Like the before-mentioned Left Behind series?
Wait, so Superman looks like a Left Behind film, but This Is the End of Nuts?
No. I'm not... I could give her a... Take it or leave it... like the apocalyptic thing, but I do love cameos.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to see this movie.
I mean, it's going to be full of cameos. I mean,
like to see faces that I recognize.
I think literally every role is a cameo.
Wow, that's a deep thought. Aren't we all just cameos in other people's lives,
Will?
Will
the entire cast of Freaks and Geeks be in it?
Okay, so it's funny you mention that, because this week I have just started watching Freaks and Geeks.
Will that guy's counselor be in it? Sorry.
Yeah, I just started watching Freaks and Geeks this
week. Please say this.
Who? Which character?
You just started watching Freaks and Geeks?
I'd never seen it in my life. And it's a solid little show there, although I must say that James Franco, Seth Rogen, and Jason Segel play three of the most unlikable characters ever put on television. They're just aggressively terrible human beings.
False?
They're awful, and they're just annoying.
They're all... lovable and
adorable.
They're manipulative, useless people. But you know what struck me as psychotic was how I'm watching the first episode and Linda Cardellini's character, Lindsay Weir, it's driving me nuts. I'm like, who does she remind me of? Who does she remind me of? And I realize Juno, that Ellen Page is straight up channeling Linda Cardellini in Juno. Yeah. I think they even wear the same army coat.
Ellen Page is a little more hyperactive, right? And I think, a little more... But I guess that's the dialogue that she had to deliver.
But it's a fun show. I don't know. Whatever.
I think Lindsay Weir is the least likable character of that show.
Do you feel like you knew those kind of guys?
I went to an all-boys religious high school, so I didn't know any of these kinds of guys or any of these kinds of girls.
Yeah.
Were you neither a freak nor a geek?
Our school was too small for cliques. Everyone had to be friends with everyone else.
You're
just
one
for
of
the
those.
And you know what? My school had lots of cliques, but I was kind of cliqueless. I kind of moved seamlessly between all the cliques. I was that guy. I had friends. I would go hang out with the dirtbags smoking behind the building. Then I'd be with, like, the honor student kids. Then I'd be with, like, all the kids in the art department.
What about the jocks? You ever hang out with the jocks?
You know, I guess I didn't hang out with the jocks
snap
all that
much. Snap towels with the jocks?
I didn't snap towels with the jocks. That's the one thing. That's my one regret from high school. I'd never snapped a towel with the jocks. Well, you know what? I want to take it back to this because whenever I see these apocalypse movies, I guess I find something liberating about the destruction and breakdown of society, as if, like, if there was a real, like, Mad Max-style apocalypse, I could, like, lead, like, an army of model actresses out of Los Angeles to safety, when in reality, I'd probably get eaten by cannibals. Nate, how do you think you would hold up in the apocalypse?
I agree. I think I would be one of the first to go. How does the world end?
Oh, you want to know?
What can I just say?
Yes.
If the world was ending, Nate would die like 20 minutes into it, but by some completely unrelated.
He would eat like a peanut and find out he's suddenly allergic.
He would fall into a construction site, like a pit somewhere that had been there for months.
He just never saw it. It just happened.
That's exactly right.
You want to know what's funny? Because you did mention the Left Behind series before. The Rapture. That's how the world ends in this movie. It's the Rapture.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And apparently I hear one of the lines is that one of the characters, I don't know which one, goes, wow, God, who knew? And then someone says, well, I don't know, maybe 95% of the world's population knew. I'm not really concerned about being someone who doesn't necessarily believe in this stuff to begin with. I'm not necessarily concerned about the Rapture happening, but I feel if the Rapture did happen, there'd be a lot of cool people left here on Earth, and I think it would actually be pretty, good times.
Right.
So I say, end of times, best of times.
You'd still be stuck with the guys who are like, the militant atheists. You would still have them around. Like, oh, what are those guys going to do if the Rapture happens?
I would think they'd have a change of heart.
The trolls.
Well, yeah, no.
What happened to Bill Maher?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened. Richard Dawkins, I'll tell you, he would switch because he always says that, and I just read a book of his, that's why I'm got Dawkins on the brain, but he always says that an atheist, if presented scientific evidence of God, would obviously switch to believing in God.
Right.
And that's what I would do. Now, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to believe even if the Rapture happens. I'm just going to have a good time.
Go stock up on DVDs and pizza.
it'll be interesting to see who remains and who goes. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to that. Alicia, you think you could? How do you think you'd do in the apocalypse?
Hopefully I would fall in with a group that needed, like, a strong maternal figure.
What if they needed someone to help repopulate humanity?
Yeah, well, I don't want to do that, but
you're the last woman on Earth.
Yeah,
if I was the last,
you gotta watch
out.
The guys who say we need a strong maternal figure, that's actually the euphemism that they're actually just trying to repopulate the Earth. You gotta watch out for those post-apocalyptic euphemisms.
Who's, like, first priority is that though?
Mine.
Who's like, oh shit.
I will tell you what, it's my first priority the day before it happens, it's my first priority the day after it happens. So I am that guy. So clearly you don't want to end up in my group.
I would be that dude
die in like 20 minutes.
No, I'd be that dude in the Twilight Zone episode that goes to seek out all the books. And then, like, loses a contact lens and breaks my glasses.
You had all the time in the world.
That would be me.
All the time in the world. You are Burgess Meredith.
It's true.
I've always said it. You're the modern-day Meredith. So I want to tell you guys what happened to me this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, please.
I will. Well, even if you didn't want to hear it, I was going to tell you. So it doesn't matter. So I was You know, there's this little company called Apple. I don't know if you guys have their products.
They're a music publishing company.
Beatles Records.
Yeah, exactly.
Forrest Gump was an early investor.
Yes.
That's what I hear. He got in on the ground floor of this.
Yeah, some fruit company.
And I've never really had to deal with them. In fact, I hadn't even been in an Apple store.
Wow.
And but I do have this device called an iPhone. I hear it's quite popular. And the other morning, I had to turn on my phone, and I pushed real, because I turn it off because I don't want to be interrupted. I just want to sleep, and if the world burns, so be it. So I'm trying to turn on my phone, and I'm pushing really hard on the button, and finally it turns on. And then I realize I can't turn it off. I can't put the phone to sleep. The on-off switch just completely stopped working. Probably because the phone is a piece of shit made by tiny Chinese children. Now, I couldn't turn the phone off, and then I went to the movies, and I had to, like, and I'm seeing things glow coming from my pocket, and it was just driving me crazy. I'm trying to sit there and you know, watch a film, and I'm everything I hate in the world now at this moment.
What movie was it?
It was The Purge.
Okay.
And which wasn't all that bad. Better concept than execution, but it wasn't all that bad. Anyway, so the glow's coming. It's driving me crazy. So I'm like, I got to get this.
Get out.
Yeah, I got to get this fixed. I got to get this fixed immediately. As far as I'm concerned, this is an emergency, because if my phone dies, then I won't be able to turn it on again. I have no phone. So I had my first Apple experience, because apparently with these people, you can't just walk into a store and be like, help me. You have to
no
make...
one just walks into an Apple store.
No, apparently you have to make an appointment, as if I was going to a doctor, you know, as if I'm going to the dentist. So luckily Sean informed me of this, so I called...
You were just
going
to
walk in.
You have to make an appointment?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I've never been to Apple store either.
Yeah, you have to make an appointment. You have to make an appointment with people called geniuses. Now, I know all the kids out there already know this, but I didn't know a lot about this. So I called Apple.
First
mistake. I call them, and I go through a whole automated thing where they're like, I can answer incomplete sentences. And I said, put me on the phone with a human being. So they do at the Sherman Oaks Apple store. And I get the guy on the phone, and I said, I would like to come in. And he goes, well, we can't see you today. It's really busy. We could send you to Northridge. I'm like, no. I said, can I come in tomorrow morning? He goes, nope, all the appointments are full. He's like, you could come in tomorrow at 3. I said, I have something to do. He's like, you could come in Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And I said, okay.
I have church.
Exactly. We've already established I won't be there. And he says, so you should go make this appointment online. Now, I have him on the phone, so I go, are you in... automated, like, you in some call center or are you in the store? He goes, oh, I'm in the store. I'm like, then can you just make the appointment? And all I hear on the other end is So 2 days later, I've been watching my phone, watching the bars. I've been paranoid, can't turn the phone off for days. 2 days later, I go and I meet with these geniuses. And you know what it takes? You know how long it takes them to deal with this? They fix it in 2 seconds by just handing me a new phone. So why the fuck weren't they smart enough to realize if they're geniuses that I could just... came in fine, and it could have been like, here you go, boom. No, and that is why you Apple Store geniuses are the enemy of the podcast. Fuck you, Apple. Go fuck yourselves. And get this, here's the other thing. They wouldn't transfer my data over to the new phone. They said I had to do it myself through iTunes. So does that mean now I always have to have phones that are iPhones, because I'll never be able to transfer the data, because I'll go someplace and then I won't be able to just plug some Samsung piece of crap into my iTunes? No, Apple has fucked me. I'm fucked now for the rest of my life. I'm going to have to deal with this. And get the other thing, they said the little on-off button, they said that it'll probably break again, that this is something that happens a lot. They said 2 or 3 times a day people come in. And I said, well, will my warranty...
always been my... go ahead.
No. Please, Nate.
Yeah, that's always been my experience at the Apple store, is that they're like, The way all Apple products are set up is that it's so like sleek and you can't fuck with it at all. That it's like you bring something in and you're like, that's not supposed to happen. it's not the way it's designed. It's not, you can't fix it, and it's not the fact that that's happening. That's wrong. It's just, that's not.
But they did give you a new one.
They gave me a new phone, and everything is back to normal. But I mean, there's no reason it should have been this complicated.
It actually wasn't terribly complicated.
It was fucking complicated. And by the way, Apple almost fucked us once with our podcast, because Sean's laptop broke, and then this will take days to fix, and we almost couldn't record a podcast because of these fucking people. And by the way, Apple is giving all our information to the government.
Yeah.
I think it's time for you to get your cabin in Montana.
They're giving all of it. You know who's not giving our information to the government?
Who?
Twitter.
How do you know?
Because there was a list of they went through it on MadOw, and there was a list of... Because
we voluntarily go on Twitter and give our information to the government.
But they're not giving any... Twitter's not... The government was... This is how we know that the government, these people are actually giving the information to the government and not just saying, like, oh, we don't know what's happening, because Twitter wasn't on the government list.
All right. Well, maybe they're so deep.
Fuck Apple. Alicia, you don't have any... You're not an Apple girl.
I have an iPhone, but I've never...
Turned it on because the button's broken.
They're going to get you, too, Alicia.
I got it from the Verizon store.
I got mine from the Verizon store. I wanted to go to the Verizon store where they took good care of me, but no. They're going to fuck you, too, Alicia. They're going to be like these people in the post-apocalypse, and all they want to do is fuck you, these Apple people.
How do we get back to this? It got really dark.
Ooh.
So you're in the same, you're the button on your phone's gonna break one day, and you'll remember this moment.
And you'll pray for the rapture to come.
Well, when you're a dad and you're giving advice, like, well, the button on your phone's gonna break one day.
Yeah, that's gonna be this is what I'm gonna instill in my kids. So we all have Apple. Do we all have iPhones?
One day, one of your kids. It's going to have to, like, come out to you that he wants to be an Apple Store genius.
I could have handled anything other
than that. You catch him in his room with the blue shirt on.
posting info to the developers' message boards on Apple.com.
Nate, did... you know what? I don't even know what I was going to say. I think I just wanted to say your name.
Wait, should we tell that karaoke story?
Oh, do you want to tell what happened?
Yeah, so... alright, so I met Will through our mutual friend. I was in L.A., and my friend was... my friend Cassie J. Snyder, former of both of our podcasts, former guest, was like, you should meet my friend Will Link. He goes to... What's it called?
Sardo's.
Sardo's karaoke, and we're both big... the three of us are karaoke fans. So I went there and I just met up with you.
Yeah.
And my friend Dorothy.
Is the two of you?
Well, Will was with his entourage.
Oh.
And
I traveled.
I was with my friend from San Francisco who also happened to be in town at the same time. I invited her. My friend Dorothy, who later, so we stayed out. We sang a bunch of karaoke, and then. Later we were hanging out like in the parking lot after closing time, and we were with another one of the regulars of Sardo's who Will, I think, could describe better than I can.
Abu? Are we talking about Abu? A slender... He's from Tampa, but he's like a slender Kenyan-looking guy.
Looks like he won a lot of marathons.
and he's... And he's awkward. Like, there's no way around it. He's just a super awkward dude.
But he's a good friend and a very nice man.
And who probably will listen to this podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like him, and we had a beautiful moment with him.
It was a moment, all right.
So he's like, I don't know how it came up, but like the topic of race came up.
Assume how it came up.
Always a good topic to bring up when you're drunk outside a bar at 2 a.m. Race.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. He said something about Jews that was a little off. Like, and I think he was just being like awkward or whatever. Like, he just didn't know how to have that conversation or something. And Dorothy was like, "Well, I'm Jewish," and he was like, "Oh, damn, you're a kike," and she slapped him.
Yeah, she did.
And then he's like, "What, nigger? You can say nigger. I don't care." Which obviously, like. I mean, you can't, obviously, the things you can say, race aside, the things you can say about yourself are not the things that another person can say about you. You know, like, everyone knows that, right?
Yes.
And so, but she was like, are you a rock and roll nigger? Like, referring to the Patti Smith song? Like, and he's like, what are you talking about? And so, but then she played the song
for him
off her phone. With the, like, the babalog, do you know what I mean? Like, she does the, like, Patti Smith does, like, the poetry thing. And
yeah,
then
at the beginning of the song.
The band kicks in, and it goes into this song, Rock and Roll Nigger. And so she played the, for him, and he was just super into it, and he was nodding his head, and he was like, yeah, I love this. This is punk rock. I just love it. And they, like, bonded over it. It was a very beautiful
Patti
moment.
Smith.
It was super tense, and then it was just this rock and roll kind of like...
So once again, Patti Smith made it all better.
Yeah.
But he still called her the K-word. And I don't remember there being, like, you know, a song that's rock and
this
roll
rock
kike.
Rock and roll kike.
No.
Maybe it was a black sheep. Maybe it was,
well, I think Bob Dylan's a rock and roll kike.
Rock and roll kike.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
And Gene Simmons from Kiss. On that note...
Hey, before we wrap this up... Before we wrap this up, I know Sean wanted to talk about an event me and him attended.
Yes, last week we had the privilege, thank you to Shawnee Rotkiewicz, a friend of the show, to Will and I volunteered at the AFI Tribute to a Lifetime Achievement Award for Mel Brooks, and we got to go to the Hollywood Highland Theater. They gave us fancy-ass tuxedos. We slapped those babies on. We checked in a bunch of alumni and fellows, and then we got primo seats. And we got to sit in this beautiful auditorium and watch as just a parade of amazing people talking about Mel Brooks.
Martin Short, Billy Crystal, Conan O'Brien, Sarah Silverman, Amy Poehler, Larry David, Carl Reiner, Cloris Leachman, Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, Martin Scorsese,
Jimmy Kimmel,
David Lynch.
Oh, it was fantastic. Just one after another came out and were fantastic. David Lynch told an amazing story. People were talking about Mel Brooks and about his influence, and then Mel Brooks at the end spoke and just killed it, and this was an awesome night.
That's so cool.
It's like, I don't know where else you would be able to see all these people on stage at the same time, and it was all free, and you can watch this special be airing on Saturday night on TNT.
9 o'clock TNT.
So set your TiVos, boys and girls, because this is a pretty fantastic Mel Brooks celebration.
And dear listeners, why did we tell you this story? Just to make you insanely jealous.
True.
It was great. Has there ever been anyone funnier than Mel Brooks?
No, I mean, you know, I can't. What can I say? Like, he's amazing.
Ray Romano's pretty.
No. No. I'm sorry. We're losing you.
Everybody does love him.
Well, he's 80. This man's 86 years old, and he sprints up to the stage, and he's full of energy, and he's just, oh, he's funny. And the comedy, the jokes he was doing were very, not edgy, but they were, I don't even know how to describe
them. I gotta imagine there was more profanity at this AFI Lifetime Achievement Award than other ones in the past.
I don't know if they're gonna keep this on the television broadcast or not, but Morgan Freeman gets up there, and he goes, shit. I gotta piss, my arm hurts, and I'm in pain, so let's do this. That's how he starts his speech, so I'm gonna assume they're gonna... And then Robert De Niro's like, who's gotta fuck me? I mean, who do I gotta fuck to get into a Mel Brooks film?
Yeah. The two greatest actors who were there were not the best at delivering banter.
No, they were not.
But Larry David killed. Sarah Silverman killed.
David Lynch told a great story. You know, Mel Brooks has this production company. Very quickly, he wanted, at a certain point in his career, he wanted to make serious films, but he realized that no one would take Mel Brooks seriously, so he had to start this production company, and he had to stand way back and kind of work things at an arm's length. So the first film, they got this property, The Elephant Man, and they need to find a director for it. And Mel Brooks sees this film, Eraserhead, and he loved the use of black and white in it. So he goes, so I went to go meet this kid, this David Lynch, and he tells me to come out to Burbank, this Bob's Big Boy, and I drive all the way out to Bob's Big Boy. I don't know, I get a hamburger. It hurts to this day. I still feel that hamburger. But David Lynch is telling the story how his whole career is basically based on the fact that Mel Brooks took a chance on him to direct The Elephant Man, and then he brings out this blue coat that he wore during the entire production of Elephant Man, and just watch the special, but it's very touching to see David Lynch speaking this way about Mel Brooks, and it just adds to the amazing things that Mel Brooks has contributed over the course of his lifetime. So, good on you, Mel Brooks. You're a comedy kike legend.
Jesus! And on that note, Alicia, Nate!
Like, well, I love how this is like the second time we can say that we hung out. It's the second time that it's degenerated into just racial...
It's a race baiting.
I think this is the most racial epithets we've had on an episode.
Well, except for that time when Lorenzo, you know, called his students. Oh, wait.
We cut that out. There was also a time where me talking about the movie Django Unchained said nigger a lot.
Yeah, but you know what? That was less weird than when you're talking about the Iron Lady and said nigger a lot.
Yes, that's true. So, Nate, Alicia, before we go, tell us, Alicia, tell us once again where we can listen to this podcast. And if you don't know Nate, tell us one more time where we can listen to the podcast.
You can find Will Sean podcast.
No, your podcast.
You don't even know what you do.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to do it, guys.
I kept thinking that you were going to say it.
I'm going to do it, guys. Invitation to Love. You can find them on iTunes. Look for the picture of them dressed as Pokemon characters, apparently. But here's one thing that you guys do have to do for me. Nate, how can they follow you on Twitter? What's your Twitter handle?
At Nathaniel Wagg. NathanielWagg.
And Alicia?
At Alicia Cramden. So AliciaCramden.
Okay. A little changing things up. Sean, plug your shit.
You can follow me at TheSeanDavid on Twitter. You can also download and read my book, Triumvirs, TRIUMVIRS, on Amazon Kindle. And by the time this posts, I will have already done my comedy reading at Shetty's Thursday at 8 p.m., so I guess that's not a thing anymore.
So, yeah, why are you talking about it, buddy?
It's on my mind today.
That's true. You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on The PM Show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies. You can also read my reviews at youonecan.com. And,
And you can also follow me on Snapchat.
You can follow Sean on Snapchat. He'll send you pictures of his genitalia. Or is it my genitalia? You won't know, and you only have 10 seconds to figure it out. On the show next week, very funny comedy writer, Stephen Brandon. He's also Australian, so that's something to talk about. And then the week after that, returning champion to the podcast, the great Alex Stein. He was here last year promoting a documentary he did. This year he's back promoting a book he wrote that I've been reading. It's terrific. It's a collection of essays, and it's called No, Mr. Bond, I Expect Your Dreams to Die. So it's something we could all relate to, because our dreams are dead.
And he's bringing mead.
And he's going to bring us homemade mead.
And so I see that Nathaniel Wagner is following me now on Twitter.
So look at that. Everything's coming up, podcast. So once again, guys, thank you so much for braving the internet technical problems and coming onto our show.
Yeah, thank you for tolerating us, our technical problems.
Thank you.
And my pee break and degenerating into you know.
It's another race-baiting episode of Will Sean.
I think we have a title for the episode.
So
for the Will Sean podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will.
Yeah, guys.
Peace out. We're finished.
We're finished.
Bye, guys.